You may be seated. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, I've never preached from this text, and as I was writing the other day, the Lord spoke this into my spirit. I began to take it and to meditate upon it. But this morning, we're continuing our series on the deeper walk, the deeper walk. And today's message is part two, and it deals with the life of purity, a subject called sanctification. And I'm going to talk about God's part and our part in this process. Last Sunday morning, I preached a message on salvation and being born again. And I said, nothing is born clean. Not a horse, not a cow, not a dog, not a baby, and not a soul. Nothing is born clean. And life and death, they cannot occur at the same time. The new birth gives us life. But once we're saved, that's when the battle begins to rage. And you realize that even though you're saved, you still have a tendency to sin. Someone said, I have a problem with drinking. Someone else said, I have a problem with immorality. Another one said, I have a problem with drugs. That is not your problem, my friends. Your problem is much, much deeper. The problem is within your heart. And you inherited it from Adam in his fall. And even though you don't want to sin, it is there to hinder you and to bend you toward the wrong. Which brings me to my text, Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Say it, read it with me. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. See, if you are Christ wholly, totally, and completely, then you have crucified the flesh. Are you Christ? Are you totally, wholly, and completely Christ? Not only have you been saved, but have you been separated unto Christ, freed from sin, the bent of sin, and the power of sin. One translation says, they that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So you've heard me say it many times, flesh is flesh. I don't care whose bones you put it on. Flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. You must be born again, but once you're born again, you got to crucify the flesh so you can live your life in a way that pleases God. Live your life in a way that others see a light shining out of you, because you don't do what you used to do. You don't go where you used to go. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't walk like you used to walk. You're following the deeper walk. You're going into the great treasures that God has hidden in his word. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this great subject of sanctification. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me to make it as simple as I can, Lord, using the scriptures, the word of God. And Lord, take and peel back the layers that hinder people from seeing this great work of grace that was accomplished at the cross. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. Thank you for the anointing to preach. Thank you, Lord, for setting the captive free. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people don't understand the word delivered. They think that once you are saved, you should think no evil, want no evil, and do no evil. But the fact of the matter is that it's a nature working in you after you're saved, and you need to be sanctified, and you need to go on with God. Salvation is for the sinner, and it offers the hope of eternal life. Sanctification is for the believer, and it offers cleansing from sin and freedom from the old sin nature. Let me say that again. Salvation is for the sinner, and it offers the hope of eternal life. Sanctification is for the born-again believer, and it offers cleansing from sin and freedom from that old sin nature. The new birth, it gets us ready for heaven. Sanctification breaks the power of sin, frees us to serve God in the beauty of holiness. And the Bible says sanctification is the will of God. Do you want to know what God's will is? Is once you are saved, to come back to the cross and appropriate by faith and apprehend what Jesus paid for, so you can be free from sin. Sanctification is a crisis experience. And it is also a lifelong process where we grow in grace and knowledge. It is an experience. It is a crisis where you realize the power of sin was broken off of my life, and now I am free to serve God. I don't have those desires to go back and do those things. Something happened inside of me. I went back to the cross and something amazing took place. Just like I got saved, I got sanctified. A second blessing showed up in my life, and now I'm free and I can praise God. I can worship God and I can serve Him in the beauty of holiness. Go on and praise God for the wonderful work of sanctification that takes place in the believer's heart. Hallelujah. So once you are saved, there is another work of grace that must take place in your heart. There is a principle inside of you. It occurred when you were born. Amen. And you inherited that principle of the sin nature from Adam. And we all came into this world bent in the wrong direction. I don't care who it is, how young you are, or how old you are. There is a principle in us that tries to rise up and cause us to go back into sin. You can tell my little granddaughter there, don't get that cookie. And she'll say, okay, mommy. Mommy goes out of the room and she gets a chair and gets up out in the cupboard. How many have seen this happen before? And all of a sudden, she starts to get that cookie and she starts eating that cookie. And mama comes in and the crumbs all over the counter. And, did you get that cookie? No, mama. I didn't get that cookie. She stole and she lied. All of them do it. You did it. I did it. It's in our nature. It was inherited from Adam. And that old sin nature must be crucified. Thank God for salvation, but thank God for sanctification and the death of the old man. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. We all came into this world bent in the wrong direction. And the old sin nature that you inherited from Adam, it tends to rise up and try to pull you down. And the old man called sin, he will struggle and fight with you, and he will attack you at your weakest point. How many know what I'm talking about? But if you're saved, Christ is in you, and he rises up, and he's trying to pull you onward toward heaven. But the old man called sin, he rises up, and he's trying to pull you back into sin. And the old man, he's trying to kill you in your infancy before you can get rooted and grounded in the faith. And it's important that you realize when you got saved, your past sins and your guilt were dealt with, but you did not get rid of that sin nature. And you got to know that. And it's frustrating because you are prone towards sin, even though you're saved and you know I shouldn't want that, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't feel this way, I shouldn't act this way, but there's something working inside of you that needs to be put to death, and he's called the old man of sin. You got saved, but you still have a problem with your temper. You got saved, but you still have a problem with immorality. You got saved, but you still have a problem with drinking, with liquor, and with drugs, and you are bent toward sin. You want to put it down, but you can't. And you wonder, if I really got saved, why am I struggling like this to be a Christian? Why am I still having this problem? Why is it easier for me to do wrong than to do right? Why do I continue to fail? Why can't I just serve God like I should? Why do I have this conflict going on? And you wonder, what in the world can I do to get free from this bondage of sin? Do you know what I'm talking about? There is only one answer. The old man of sin, he must be crucified. He must be utterly destroyed. Some call it sanctification. Some denominations call it commitment. Others call it the second blessing. Some refer to it as cleansing. Some call it the crucifixion of the old man. Call it what you may. But this is a work of grace that must take place in your heart to break the power of sin off of your life. Hallelujah. How many have had this struggle I'm talking about before you got sanctified? Then you know what I'm talking about. Go and praise God that you've been sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, that you've been delivered from that stuff, and you have a desire to serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. When others come to church leaving, you leave church coming back. You said, I just want to get back because I need another word. I told somebody recently, I said, if you come on Sunday morning, you get one third, you get one barrel. If you come back on Sunday night, you get two thirds, you get two barrels. If you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, you get a triple portion. You get three barrels of the word of God. How quick do you want to come out of your problem? Do you want it to take you 1 year? Do you want it to take 2 years? Do you want it to take 3 years? How long do you want to struggle with that thing that is conflicting what you should be and struggling in your inner being trying to keep you from what God has purposed for your life? Come back and hear the word of God. Come get washed in the water. Come get washed in the blood. Come give him some praise. Come give him some glory. Come give him some hallelujah. And all of a sudden your whole outlook will look, change. Your attitude will change. And you'll have a smile on your face. And you'll have joy unspeakable that's full of glory. You won't have the mully grubs. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It just matters what's going on in with Jesus in your life. Hallelujah. And if you get Jesus in your life, he'll fix the inside. And then Jesus will fix the outside. And if things are not going right, I don't care how long you've been in the church, you need to come back to the cross and you need to let that old man of sin be crucified, nailed to the cross, so you can live in the freedom God has purposed for your life. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I said, Lord, this is a subject that some people consider legalistic. But to me, it's a reality because I got sanctified. Hallelujah. I got freed from that old bent of sin. Amen. You know, I'm not like some preachers that never done anything wrong. Oh, no. I don't want anybody to open the door to my closet and look inside and say, let me see. Oh, no. Brother Philip preached good this morning in Sunday school. He said, God said, I'll cast it into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered more. God said, I'll never bring that up again. People will try to bring it up because they don't understand the power of the blood. They don't understand what happened to you. They don't understand how free you got. They just cannot understand when those chains and shackles were broken, what happened in your life. They've never had that experience. And so they look down their long, sanctimonious nose and criticize you. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. What a powerful, powerful work of the cross. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 6 and 6. Paul said, knowing this, see, you got to know it, that the old man of sin is crucified with him. Why must we know that the old man of sin has been crucified? The Bible gives us the answer. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Look at the next verse. For he that is dead to sin, dead, is free from sin. You take a dead man, I don't care what you do to him. He's dead. I mean, he just is dead. And if you get sanctified, guess what? You're going to be dead to that thing that you wrestle with all your life. It's going to be crucified, nailed to the cross. See, salvation is a Christ's experience. And once you're saved, you know that you're saved. And sanctification is also a Christ's experience. And once you're sanctified and that old man has been put to death, you know that he's been put to death. It's no longer a struggle for you. Hallelujah. Because knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him, that old nature that you inherited from Adam, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Why, Paul? That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. So after you are saved, you've got to go back to the cross and allow God to crucify that old man. See, crucifixion is a crisis. When you crucify and kill something, it's a crisis. And if you destroy something, it's an experience. So we have the experience of salvation where we are born again. And then we have the experience of sanctification where the old man of sin is crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. So how do you destroy the old man? How do you destroy the body of sin. Pastor, don't you understand what I'm struggling with? Don't you understand these problems that I have? How can you preach that type of liberty, Pastor? Don't you understand my dilemma? Believe me, I do. Amen. And I got Bible for it too. It's very simple. How do you destroy that body of sin? He must be crucified, which takes you right back to the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Why I'm so happy? Because at the cross I first saw my sight, and then I went back and I saw something else that took place on that cross. That Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he sanctified me and he washed it white as snow. Go on and praise him. Woo! I tell you, this thing is rich. This thing is pure. This will bring power into your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The cross provides not only salvation from past sin, but sanctification from the sin nature that you inherited from Adam. Look at Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The old man is dead. Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this earthly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, once you realize that the old man of sin has been crucified, and that you have been crucified with Christ, and not only did you just appropriate faith for Savior, you appropriated faith for sanctification and freedom from that old sin nature. Once you see that, once you get the light of that, the revelation from the Holy Spirit, and that's why I'm preaching along this line. If I don't preach it, you won't ever get it if you need it. If you've got it, guess what? You still need it. Because it's a crisis experience, but it's an ongoing work. And we're all fighting devils, and we're not fighting devils of old. We're fighting 21st century devils, and he come down in great power, trying to take you out and keep you from reaching your eternal home in heaven. But thank God that's power in the blood, saving power, sanctifying power, and praise God that's the Holy Ghost power that you can receive after you're sanctified. Hallelujah. We're talking about the deeper walk. And going on to some great things in God. Once the old man has been crucified, you are free from the bent and the proneness of sin. Which brings me right back to my text. Look at it. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If you belong to Christ and if you're seeking him, he said, you shall seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I said earlier, you don't have a drinking problem. You don't have a drug problem. You don't have a problem of immorality. You got a heart problem. And so your heart must be changed by Jesus. And once your heart is changed and that old man is put to death, you can serve God because you're free. Free from sin. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed. I got the victory. Why? Because whom the Son makes free is free indeed. So do you want to be free? Do you want to go on to the deeper things of God? Do you want to live a life of liberty and freedom? Do you want your life to measure up to God's standard of holiness? God has not called us to uncleanness, but God has called us unto holiness. Amen. And the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to make heaven your eternal home? Then you must appropriate this second blessing called sanctification by faith in the work and the blood of Calvary's cross. And once you do that, you won't have a problem with sin. You can get your prayers answered. The Bible says that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive it because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. But Pastor, you don't understand. I sinned. I messed up. Well, the Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go on and praise Him. You have a family lawyer. You have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if you go back to Him, guess what? He'll wash you off and put you right back in a right standing with the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. But we still have this battle that's going on in the flesh. And we know that we've been justified by faith, but still as an inner struggle, there is a conflict that is going on. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't have peace because of I'm in the church. I don't have peace because I pay my tithe. I don't have peace because I have a license to preach in the North Carolina International Pentecostal Holiness Church. I have peace through Jesus Christ my Lord because the blood of Jesus Christ washed my heart, flushed out the filth. I came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And now, praise God, I'm walking in the light as He is in the light. And I'm shouting and praising God as I make my way home toward glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we experience the peace of God at the new birth. God imparts to you the gift of righteousness. And then He gives you peace in your heart. And everything seems to be great. It's just going great until that old man called sin rises up. And when he does, you are tempted. And so many times you fall back into sin. I really don't want to do that. I don't know why I have this problem. Well, the problem is this. You've never seen the second work of God's grace. I don't know why I drink. I don't know why I run around. I don't know why I'm bent in this direction. Oh, I can tell you why. The old man must be put to death. Amen. So it's frustrating. It really is frustrating when you're trying to serve God, yet there's something working in you, something robbing you of your peace, something robbing you of your joy, something robbing you of your gift of righteousness before the Father, and you're frustrated. Amen. The law tells us what sin is. And then the law shows us our sin. But the law does not help us. The law said that's a sin. It's a sin to do that. I can pull that book out and read you what the law says. And it says it's a sin. The works of the flesh, they're all sin. They're sin, they're sin, they're sin. The law tells me what sin is, but the law leaves me helpless. It does not justify me. The law leaves me guilty. It says you shouldn't have done that, and I did it, and now I'm guilty before the courts of God. Look at this, 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. God said, don't do that, but you did it. So you transgressed the law. The law doesn't help you. It leaves you helpless. Look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why? That we might be justified by faith. What does that word justification mean? It means to be made just as if you had never sinned. Just as if you had never transgressed any law of God. Now look at this, because you need to realize that grace and justification by faith, they do not do away with the law. Some people think, if I can just live this good, if I can just put this down, if I can just go to church, if I can turn over a new leaf. No, you don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to put the old man to death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you need to realize that grace and justification by faith do not do away with the law. Look at Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We don't make the law of God void through faith. Paul says, shall we sin because of grace? God forbid. Don't you know that who you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? So this law stands there. You can't be justified by keeping it. We're justified by faith in the blood of Jesus, which drives us back to the cross. What I want you to see is this. The law shows us our sin. It leaves us helpless. And then it points us to the cross. where we can be justified by faith in the blood of Jesus. Now, faith does not make the law void. Faith establishes God's law. Faith establishes God's principles. Faith establishes God's commandments and God's precepts and concepts. And it does that so that we are driven back to the cross. And when we sin and when we come short of God's glory and God's standard of holiness, we have to go back to the cross to appropriate the blessing of God. Hallelujah. See, my failures and my shortcomings, they drive me back to my Savior. They drive me back to Jesus. They drive me back to my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Where I can find the help that I need. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, but so also is sanctification. Grace does not make void the law. It establishes the law. So the law points out my sin and it leaves me helpless, and then it drives me back to the cross. Why do I need to go back to the cross? So I can be sanctified and freed from sin. You see, contrary to what some people say, you cannot live in sin and make heaven your eternal home. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. It's just giving you truth because truth makes you free. Once you are saved, you are supposed to quit sinning. And if you do sin, you have an advocate and you're supposed to confess your sin. The Bible says he that is born of God does not sin. That means simply that you do not practice sin. If there is a sin in your life and you're practicing that and you are habitual about it and you cannot lay it down and you cannot get free from it, you need to take this message to heart, go back to the cross and get sanctified and put that old man of sin to death. Hallelujah. God is a holy God, and Jesus is coming for a church with a pure, clean, virgin spirit. It's going to be a clean church. It's going to be a holy church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Hallelujah. He wants his church to understand the purity that is available to you. We're not preaching condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, put Romans 8:1 up there. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore, right this moment, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But here's the key. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Have you purposed in your heart to continue to practice that sin that has you been in the wrong direction? Or have you purposed to get free by going back to the cross and appropriating the second blessing that Jesus paid for on the cross? Hallelujah. Glory to God. As Jesus was standing in the shadow of the cross, I want you to look at what he prayed. John 17:19. Jesus is talking to the Father and he says, for their sake I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified. And look at that last word, through the truth. I'm preaching truth this morning. It is truth. Truth that makes you free. No, it really isn't. It's the knowledge of truth. See, a lot of people get that mixed up. Truth has always been truth. But it's when a man of God stands up under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and he sends out the truth and the Spirit of God empowers it. It's the knowledge of that truth that breaks every chain. It's the knowledge of that truth. A rhema from God. You get a personal word just like Lazarus. Lazarus in the tomb, he's dead. And people say, well, if Jesus hadn't said Lazarus, all the graves would have popped open. No, there were a lot of people named Lazarus. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Holy Ghost took that word and he goes right into that tomb. Boom. He said, hey, Lazarus, the brother Mary and Martha, you're the one he's talking to. You're the one. And he gets that word and, man, he just comes out. You know, hopping, bound in the grave clothes. And here's an example of salvation, raised from the dead. Sanctification. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He said, loose him and let him go. Woo! Loose him. Let him go. I can hear the master this morning saying to some of those chains that are holding some of you, hear the word of the Spirit. Loose them. Let them go. I bought them with my blood. Loose them. Let them go. And they, you come back to the cross and appropriate sanctification, and now you're free indeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, I want the truth to be taught. I want the truth to be preached so my church can be sanctified by that truth. Well, what does the Bible have to say about this divine act of grace? Let me just give you some places in the Bible. Romans 6:6 calls it the crucifixion of the old man. Romans 7:24 said it is deliverance from the body of death. Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He saw the cross. And he penned these words, I pray God that you be sanctified holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Do you want to walk blameless before God? Then get sanctified. Hallelujah. Romans 8:6 says it is being spiritually minded rather than carnally minded. Galatians 6:14 said it's the crucifixion of the believer to the world and the world to the believer. Ephesians 5:25-26, it is the cleansing by the washing of the water by the word. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:12 tells us, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify his people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. They didn't kill him in the city. They killed him outside on a hill called Golgotha, Calvary, on the cross. And because he went to the cross and because he shed his precious blood, he freed us forever from the bent and the power of sin, if we can only appropriate it by revelation from the Holy Ghost and faith in the blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 7:1 said it is the cleansing from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So justification gives us a right standing with God. Sanctification gives us the character of God, his holiness, and his godliness. Sanctification is a separation unto God so that we may be holy spirit, soul, and body. It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful when your mind thinks right thoughts. And the devil will try to inject something, but the Holy Ghost, he comes and brings you a word. And he's washing. Washing that old nature again. Just washing it, washing it. See, it tries to rise up. It will continually try to rise up. You have a crisis that puts it to death, but it keeps coming back like a lion in a cage trying to jump out. It's destructive. So you have to take up your cross daily and be crucified. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Hallelujah. Is sanctification necessary? Jesus thought it was. And he prayed his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. When he prayed that, he petitioned the Father for his church. Jesus prayed for you. He saw us. He saw our struggle. Look at John 17:17. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Look at verse 19. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, when Jesus prayed this prayer, he was standing in the shadow of the cross. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. And so he sanctified himself so you and I could be sanctified. And when Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, he was praying that we, the church, through the word of God and the revelation of the Holy Ghost, that we could see the complete work of the cross. So sanctification is an act of God. Sanctification is an act of the human will. It is the operation of God. And it is also the cooperation of man. And we are sanctified by going back to the cross and appropriating this second blessing by faith in the blood. We are sanctified by the washing of the water of the word. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. We are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I give you scriptures on every one of this. And then we're to sanctify ourselves by an act of the human will. Amen. Remember, the new birth, it gets us ready for heaven. Sanctification, however, it enables us to live like a citizen of heaven while we are still on this earth. Now, everybody has an it. I've hit some of them, but I haven't hit all of them. But everybody has an it. Amen. Your it could be sex. It could be pornography. Your it could be drugs, or it could be alcohol. Your it could be cigarettes, or it could be your temper. You mean you cigarettes? I mean cigarettes, because cigarettes is a drug. I mean doctors prescribe drugs where you can't face the world and you shoot up because you got a doctor's prescription to do it. Amen. I'm not being harsh. I'm just telling you, that's power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. They tried to put me on that stuff. Four doctors tried to do it, but I didn't take it, hallelujah. And I got Jesus, and he's given me joy unspeakable. They told me, they said, you're depressed. I said, if I'm depressed, the whole world is in trouble. I told my wife, if that doctor tells me that one more time, I'm going to preach Jesus like he never heard Jesus preach before. I went back looking for an open door. He never said it, and I didn't get to preach to him that day. I tell you what, if I'm depressed, the whole world's in trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Your it could be the love of money, which is the root of all evil. It could be a number of things, but everything, everybody has an it. And I want you to know, I don't know what your it is, but you do. And as long as you hold on to your it, the longer you will struggle in your Christian walk. The quicker you deal with your it, the quicker you will overcome it and move into the blessings that God has purposed for your future. Now I close with this. For 40 years, the children of Israel, they had wandered around and around in the wilderness. And finally, the day came that they had been dreaming of. Finally, the day came when the prophet said, it's time to cross over. God sent me with a prophetic word today. It's time for some of you to cross over. No more wandering about in the wilderness. No more dreaming about God's promises. No more being put on hold. Look at Joshua 3 and 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, God wants his people to sanctify themselves today so that tomorrow he can show up in your life and do miracles. He can show up in your life and bring those dreams to pass. He can show up in your life and make you the head and not the tail. He can show up and make you the lender and not the borrower. He can show up and give you life that is more abundant and filled with God's unspeakable glory and joy. Hallelujah. I don't know what dream God has put in your heart. I don't know what he has promised you, but I do know this. There comes a time when you've got to quit wandering around and around, and you have to go after God. And God is saying, if you want to go with me into my tomorrows that I have planned for your life, then you need to sanctify yourself today. My friends, true repentance, it brings more than forgiveness and salvation. True repentance brings sanctification. And you need to sanctify yourself today so that God can do miracles, signs, and wonders in your life tomorrow. Let us stand. There you have it. Salvation, sanctification, God's part, and your part. Hallelujah.
At the cross, I surrender my life.
Yes, Lord.
I'm in all.
Let us all start making our way to the altar. Got 6 minutes. Before lunchtime. Come on down. Some of you, you might just need to be saved. There are others, you struggle and struggle and struggle. And God is talking to you. God is saying, come. Bow your heart. Give it all to me.
At the cross, I surrender my life.
I surrender, Lord, of my own human will. Wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, God, from this bent. Crucify that old man, God. Put him to death. Help me, Lord.
Jesus.
Everybody come on in close so everybody can get in. Come on in close to the altar. Everybody come if you will, please. You can walk. Come on down. Say, Lord. Say, I need it. I need it all the time. I've never gotten so holy that I feel like I've arrived. Oh, no. I take this book out and I wash and wash and wash in it every day. I need it. Give it all, Lord.
The cross and the cross.
Now I can preach it. And I believe I preached it with as much understanding as could be given. Because I labored over this thing. And I've labored over it. And Holy Ghost, help me to peel back those layers like an onion. Some people, it's like an onion. You just got to keep pulling and peeling the layers back so you can get right to the heart of the matter. God wants to get right to the heart.
My hope is found here on holy ground. Here I bow.
I love you, Lord.
Here I bow down. Here arms open wide. Here you saved my life. Here I bow down. Surrender my life.
That's a personal prayer you make. Whatever you brought to the cross, tell the Lord, Lord, I can't even deal with it. This thing is killing me. I'm so frustrated because it keeps carrying me back to that old thing I don't want to do. Now, it doesn't mean you won't be tempted. You're going to be tempted. It just means you have the power to say no to it. Jesus was tempted in all points, like we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Surrender.